This is a very interesting story here in the in Leviticus chapter 24. What's happened is there's two guys that got into a fight. One of them was an Israelite. One of them was, his mother was Israelite. His daddy was an Egyptian. And while they're fighting, this one that is a foreigner, half Israelite, he curses. He takes the name of God in vain. And when he does that, then the people seize him and they take him to Moses. Now, he's blasphemed the name of God. Blaspheming means to speak with contempt or against the character or reputation of, or to make hollow or meaningless. And that's what he's done when he cursed God or uses the name of God to curse. And so they put him in custody. And so God then speaks to Moses. And he tells him, he said, you take the one who is blasphemed outside the camp. You let everyone that heard his words lay their hands on his head, and then let the people stone him to death, that you may tell all the people that anyone, whether born an Israelite or not, who curses the name of God will be held responsible and must be put to death for their wrongdoing. In other words, what God was saying was, this is serious. In fact, in the Old Testament here, what we see is that to blaspheme the name of God was literally a life and death thing. Because God holds his name high. And so what I want us to talk about this morning is I want us to talk about revering or reverencing the name of God. Back in the Old Testament times, names had a great deal of meaning, much more than it does today. For example, God changed the name of Abram, which meant exalted father, to Abraham, which meant the father of many nations. He also changed the name of Jacob to Israel, which meant the father of a nation. Thus they were called the Israelites. We see where that Jesus changed the name of Simon to Peter so that he could put before him a challenge to become the rock that Jesus knew that he could be and who that Jesus wanted him to be. And when it became time for Jesus to be born, God did not leave it up to Mary and Joseph to name his son. But he, in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, he tells Mary and Joseph, I want you to name my son Jesus, which means Savior. And so names meant a lot. In the Indian culture, names had a great deal of meaning. Running Bull or Sitting Bull and Running Deer and the many different names that they used to give that person a name that described whom they thought they would be. In my heritage, My great, great, great grandmother was a Cherokee princess, and her name was Little Bird. And it was interesting for me to find that out. But just like in the Jewish culture, also in our Indian culture, names had a great deal of meaning. But no name was greater or more important to God than His own. And that's what I want us to talk about today. That's what I want us to understand and to see. That the name of God is to be reverenced. God first used the name El, E-L, which meant supreme God. And then later, God changed His name to El Shaddai, which meant the supreme God who is almighty. And then we see how that the children of Israel, the Jewish nation, or the Jewish people, patriarchs, used this name until Moses was commissioned to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And whenever Moses asked God, who will I say has sent me? You remember how that God said, you tell them that I am has sent you. Well, that word is Yahweh or Jehovah. And so what God was saying is, you tell the people that Yahweh has sent you. The I am that I am has sent you. And for God, this was a statement that He was supreme. He is the God of all men, mankind. And so this name of God was to be feared and to be reverenced in every way. And so for the children of Israel, Moses said, I am has sent me. The beginning, the end, the foremost, the forever, the I am God. So what happens whenever I say the name of someone that you respect? What comes to your mind? What, for those of you who were here in the early years of the church here at Johnson, what if I said the name Leo Ball? What would come to your mind? Well, that name has meaning to you because you see him as one who knew the Scripture, who lived according to the Scripture and had a great influence on the church here. Bringing things down to a little closer to us, what if I were to say the name Keith Montgomery? What would that mean to you? Well, someone that we had to respect for the physical fight that he put up against the cancer that was trying to destroy him, and lived way longer, 2 years plus longer than even his doctors ever thought he would. We would think of someone that had a lot of influence in this church, this family right here. What if I were to say the name Ron Parsley? Well, first of all, probably a smile would come to your face because he was quite a guy. But again, someone that we truly respected. Someone that spent his life preaching and teaching God's word. And oh, he did it with such class, but he had such a humor about him that when he was around, you felt better. Your day got better. So yes, names mean something to us. Our name needs to mean something to someone. And certainly, the name of God should mean something to us. Well, there were three passages in the Old Testament that I think really show us how to use the name of God. Now, there are so many passages that praise the name of God, but these are three passages that I think show us how God feels about His name. The first one is the third commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, where the Lord says there, He says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." God's name is so holy that he etched it in stone for these people to see and read. You do not dare use the name of God in vain and think that you will be held guiltless. Another passage where God reveals to us what His name means is Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 2. Here God tells Moses, He says, "Speak to Aaron and his sons." They were the priest. "Speak to Aaron and his sons so that they abstain from the holy things of the people of Israel, which they dedicate to me, so that they do not profane my holy name. I am the Lord." What he was saying here, he was saying, "Moses, I want you to impress upon Aaron and the rest of the priest how holy and sanctified are the temple and the things that are in the temple and the tabernacle, and how sacred my things are. And don't use them in a way that they should not be used. Do not profane my name." And then we find in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 58 and 59, at the end of the life of Moses, one of the last things that he said to the children of Israel was this. He said, "If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord," if you don't do that, "then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions." The plagues is what he was talking about. "Afflictions severe and lasting, and the sickness grievous and lasting." Saying to the children of Israel that if you want things to go well for you, in this new land, this promised land, then you will remember and obey the commandments that I've given you. And you will revere the glorious name of the Holy God. Now back then, using the name of God was literally, the way you used the name of God literally was a matter of life and death. So the question comes with this Old Testament as a background, the question then comes then, how should we use the name of God today? Now I want you to think about the things that we've talked about in the Old Testament, how God thought His name should be used, how the children of Israel were commanded to use the name of God. And then I want to ask the question, how does God want us to use His name today? I think that all of us know that commonplace to misuse the name of God. In fact, it has become so commonplace that maybe we have just become a little accustomed to it. But everywhere you go, any place you go, you're probably going to run onto some profanity. Because it is such a common thing. I heard the other day a definition of profanity I think is about as good as any I've ever heard. Someone said that the definition of profanity was the inability to use the English language. And I think that says volumes right there. But we find that comedians feel like they have to use profanity to get laughs. Movie companies put in profanity in their scripts so that they can get a PG-13 or an R rating. And I think that that's terrible whenever we feel like that we can take God's name and make it so commonplace. It's uncalled for in the Christian's life. And we should have more respect and more reverence for the name of God. We think it's funny whenever we take the name of God in vain. And what it does is it's an attempt to bring God down on our level. We use it when we're angry. We often use the name of God in vain when we're angry. When we're surprised, we often use the name of God. On social media, it has its own acronym. OGM, OMG, oh my God, is the acronym for surprise or to assert something. OMG. We use it in frivolous talk. Frivolous talk is talking without thinking about what we're saying. We use the name of God that way in vain. We use words like, we say, the man upstairs, or the big guy in the sky, or lordy, lordy, or gosh, or golly, or gee, or geez, or good Lord, or Jesus Christ. Now, and I'm going to stop right there because it just doesn't sound right here. Even for a point, it doesn't sound right. And if it doesn't sound right here, why does it sound right out there? And if you think I'm over-exaggerating this, you pick a day, any day this next week, and just kind of in your mind, or even write it down, keep an account of how many times at school or at work or at Walmart when you're walking down the aisle and overhear a conversation, you count how many times you hear God's name misused. And I'll tell you what, if you will, write it down on a piece of paper and hand it to me. And if enough of you hand it to me, I'll read them from the numbers from the pulpit. I won't say your name. Don't even put your name on the piece of paper. Just hand me a piece of paper if you do that one day this next week. And I'll find a time from this pulpit to read how many times that is. I don't know. And I'm having a hard time with this day, because I don't know how to impress upon us how serious this is. How holy the name of God truly is. And how lax we've become. How commonplace it's become to take the name of God in vain. So I'm going to ask, how do we treat the name of God? How do we need to treat the name of God today? Well, the best way I could find, and that I know of, is just to go back and look and see how Jesus did it. How did Jesus treat the name of God? Well, one thing was he glorified the name of God. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, whenever Jesus is going to tell his disciples how they should pray, he said, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because I was preaching on this subject today, I could not help but listen as Bruce Cassidy, in his prayer this morning, how he addressed God. And it was in a most respectful and reverent way. In John 17 and verse 4, there Jesus said, I have glorified you on all the earth. To glorify someone means to make a higher impression, regard, or opinion. To glorify the name of God is, in this context, is to make him higher in our opinion and in our life. And then Jesus praised God's name.
Yes.
You say, well, isn't this the same as glorifying his name? It's similar, but I think praise is more specific. When you are praised, you call attention to the attributes of a person. In John chapter 12, in verse 49 and verse 50, Jesus had really been making an impression on people by the way that he spoke and the way that he talked and the things that he said. In the Sermon on the Mount, it says that the people marveled that he had spoken to them as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. And so Jesus, here in John chapter 12, he wants to make sure that everyone knows that these are the words of his Father. He said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me, he himself has given me this commandment, what to say, what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father who has told me." What he is saying here is that I want to give credit to my Father. I want to praise his name for what he is to me and what he is in me. And so this praising is giving to God a glory. And we do, we're all always happy to tell someone about the things that our children or our grandchildren do. You want to know about London? I can tell you. You want to know about the time that Ryan scored 28 points in a basketball game? I'd be glad to tell you. Why aren't we as anxious to praise God for what he has done, for his love, for his compassion, for the salvation that he has given us? We do that inside this building. Why are we so hesitant to do that at school or at work? Which brings us to the next thing that I think that Jesus gives us about the name of God, and that is he protected it. He protected the name of God. In Mark chapter 10 is where we call him the rich young ruler, comes to the Lord and he says, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is one that is good, and that is the Father God." Jesus was also pointing out that he was God. I understand that. I know that. But, and we learn a lot of things from this, but one of the things that we say here is that Jesus wanted to make sure he protected the name of God. You remember, of course, the story of David fighting Goliath, how that Saul said, "Anybody that'll go fight this giant, I'll give him half of my kingdom. He gets to marry my daughter, and his family will be free of taxes." Was that the reason why David went to fight Goliath? It was not. You remember what David said? He said, "I go to fight this giant because no one has the right to blaspheme the name of my God. And he went out to fight a giant with a slingshot and a rock to protect the name of God. I am not going to let anyone say anything bad about my Pat. I don't know what I'll do, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to say it. I'm going to at least use my mouth. I'm going to say, you can't talk about the woman that I love like that. Because I love her, I will protect her. I will protect her name. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I know you can't stop the world from blaspheming or taking the name of God in vain. I know you can't do that. But you can do something. If you're watching a program and they're using the name of God in vain, you can turn it off. If you are standing there and some of your friends are constantly taking the name of God in vain, you can walk away. If somebody is telling a dirty joke and using the name of God, you don't have to laugh. There are things that you can do and you should do to protect the name of God. Well, does this sound like I'm going a little overboard today? I'm not. I am not. Because in the Old Testament times, to use the name of God in vain literally meant life and death. And I'm saying to you today that using the name of God in vain is literally the difference between spiritual life and spiritual death. I really, really believe that it is that important. And I really, really believe that we need to do more than we're doing to protect the name of God, to praise the name of God, and to glorify the name of God. I believe that this has everything to do with the kind of relationship that we have with God. And if you can take the name of God in vain, thoughtlessly, frivolously, and you do it often, then I really think you need to question your relationship with God. Because we should never, ever, ever misuse the name of God. Well, that's it. I hope that I've helped us to think more seriously about reverencing and revering the name of God. And one of the ways that you can hold in honor the name of God and Jesus is to be willing to confess that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if this morning we can help you and pray for you to have more strength, to be more thoughtful about your speech, your actions, in your day-to-day living, to be more thoughtful about holding the name of God on high, aloft. If we can do that for you in any way, will you come while together we stand and sing?